Hello, welcome to Quantumplation. On this podcast, I present scientific insights on a variety of topics, from popular culture to the meaning of life, from the perspective of a quantum physicist. All episodes are written by me, Dr. Paul Webster. The text of each episode is also published at quantumplation.substack.com. I hope you enjoy this contemplation. Irrational numbers, the unobservable, indescribable foundation of physics. Real numbers are not real, but irrational numbers are not irrational. By Dr. Paul Webster. Hippasus of Metaquantum was a Greek man who lived in the 5th century BC. In a world convulsed by war and violence, he found a profession that must have seemed blissfully safe, mathematics. While the 300 Spartans made their last stand at Thermopylae, we can imagine Hippasus sitting comfortably at his desk, studying his triangles and dodecahedra. This is the life, he must have thought. Only too late would he discover a surprising truth. Mathematics is not for the faint-hearted. For tradition says that Hippasus' mathematics cost him his life. As a follower of Pythagoras, Hippasus was dutifully studying the side lengths of right-angle triangles. According to Pythagoras' famous theorem, if you draw such a triangle with two sides that are each 1 unit in length, the third side will have a length equal to the square root of 2. Hippasus' fateful discovery was that the square root of 2 is a peculiar number, as it cannot be expressed as a fraction. In ancient Greek parlance, it was alogos, inexpressible or indescribable. In modern parlance, it is irrational. The existence of irrational numbers was such an affront to Pythagorean orthodoxy that it is said that when Hippasus revealed his work to his comrades, they swiftly had him drowned for impiety. What should we make of this response? Today it seems not just extreme, but also a little odd. Irrational numbers are a routine part of modern life, found everywhere from school classrooms to construction sites to GPS systems. Far from their unholy power bringing the world to chaotic ruin, they have proved vital to scientific developments that have built the modern world. Yet this should not blind us to the truth that was so evident to the ancient Greeks. There is something very strange about irrational numbers. The more closely we examine them, the more we may find ourselves wondering if believing in them is indeed as irrational as their name suggests. From counting to rationality. Long before there were mathematicians and theorems, people used their fingers to count. The numbers that arise during counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, are called the counting numbers. For countless millennia, these numbers suffice to describe the natural world of plants, animals, and the passing of days. But civilization brought new challenges. The progression of arithmetic through history can be understood as a process of introducing new numbers to meet these new challenges. Money and accounting naturally led to the idea of negative numbers to describe debt. If a person has $5 and spends $2, we can easily calculate that their remaining wealth is $3 because 5 minus 2 equals 3. But what about a person who has $2 but spends $5? Their wealth is 2 minus 5, which is not equal to any counting number. How can we deal with this? We simply invent a new type of number, negative numbers. Since 2 minus 5 is the opposite of 5 minus 2, we call its solution negative 3. Indeed, if we insist that every subtraction of counting numbers must have an answer, then what we end up with is the integers, the positive and negative counting numbers together with 0. Next comes fractions, which address the need to fairly distribute limited resources. If 6 fish are to be shared equally between 3 people, we can divide 6 by 3 to determine that each person should get 2 fish. But if only 5 fish are to be shared between 3, then we must divide 5 by 3, which cannot be solved by any integer. How can we deal with this? Invent new numbers, of course. We declare that there is a number that equals 5 divided by 3, and call this number 5 over 3. If we assert that there must be a number that is equal to the division of any two integers, then we create the rational numbers. These are all of the numbers that can be written as fractions, or equivalently as an exact decimal, either terminating or occurring. This is a lot of new numbers to have invented. We may wonder whether a prehistoric hunter-gatherer would reasonably have been just as affronted by the unwieldy smorgasbord of fractions as the Pythagoreans were by the heresy of irrational numbers. Yet rational numbers have important properties that make them orderly. Every rational number can be interpreted as a representation of an imaginable real-world scenario. 4/3 describes 4 pies shared between 3 people. -1.45 encapsulates the finances of a person who owes a lender $1.45, and so on. Moreover, every rational number can be written down on paper, entered into a calculator, or described in words. They are precise concepts with which we can calculate. It is a long way from counting numbers to rational numbers, but the progression is fundamentally one of natural extension. There is nothing mysterious about rational numbers. They are simply an elegant manifestation of humans' capacity for abstract thought. The same cannot be said for the irrational numbers. Irrational numbers, unknowable and uncalculable. Like negative numbers and fractions, irrational numbers were invented to answer otherwise unanswerable questions. Hippasus's example of right-angled triangles with a side length of root 2 was one example. Another is the circumference of a circle. If you draw a circle with a diameter of 1 unit, there is no rational number that measures the length of the path around the circle. How can we fix this? We can invent a new number, called pi. Pi is famous for the fact that its decimal representation continues forever without pattern, but there are infinitely many other numbers with the same properties. Collectively, these are the irrational numbers. The combination of these numbers with the rational numbers is called the real numbers. Yet real is a strange name, since irrational numbers fail to meet basic criteria for reality. Indeed, they can never be observed in the real world. Whenever we make a measurement, we always use a piece of apparatus that can only give a reading from a discrete set of possibilities. Typically, this is expressed as a decimal. For example, a typical tape measure with millimeter precision can give us readings of 1.414 meters or 1.415 meters, but cannot be used to measure a length of 1.41421356 meters. A more accurate piece of equipment may give a more precise measurement, such as 1.41421 meters, but no apparatus could ever measure the infinitely long decimal string that represents an irrational number, like the square root of 2. This means that even if we construct right-angled triangles like those studied by Hippasus and measure its sides, we will never observe the irrational lengths he observed they should have. Of course, we may consider this to reflect our limitations. While we can only measure rational numbers, we may reason that these are merely approximations to the true irrational numbers. Yet this begs the question of what it is that we are approximating. In the real world, there's no such thing as a perfect circle or a true right-angled triangle. If you examine a circle under a microscope, you'll always find flaws where the pen slipped or a speck of dust got in the way. If you look closely enough, you will ultimately see that it is not even truly a continuous curve on the page. The ink that forms the circle really consists of a discrete collection of atoms largely consisting of empty space. It is not our measurements which approximate the true geometric perfection of the world. It is the perfect circles and polygons of our imagination that are approximations of the messy reality of the physical world. It is only in this idealized world of our thought that we can see irrational numbers. Indeed, even in the world of ideas, irrational numbers' reality is elusive. Even as concepts, they cannot be written or described exactly. A symbol like the letter pi can represent an irrational number, but it is useless for calculation since it does not express how the number is related to other numbers. Moreover, the irrational numbers are so numerous that it is not even theoretically possible to devise a system of symbols that could represent each one. With this in mind, the best we can do is to approximate irrational numbers with rational numbers that are similar in value, such as 3.14 for pi. This is what a calculator does when asked to perform arithmetic with irrational numbers. Yet such calculations can never give exactly correct answers, but instead yield only approximations. Irrational numbers, therefore, cannot be seen in the physical world, cannot be written down or spoken of, and cannot even be used correctly in calculations. Whatever the nomenclature of real numbers may suggest, we surely cannot avoid the conclusion that irrational numbers are not real in any meaningful sense. An indispensable fiction. So were the Pythagoreans correct to try to suppress irrational numbers? Are they a pernicious fantasy that distracts mathematicians and scientists from the real world? On the contrary, Irrational numbers are an indispensable tool without which modern science would not be possible. This is because, while irrational numbers themselves are an unwieldy nuisance, they usefully fill up all of the gaps between rational numbers. This means that accepting irrational numbers transforms the discrete patchwork of points described by rational numbers into the continuous number line of real numbers. This is particularly vital to studying motion. Even as Hippasus was uncovering irrational numbers, Zeno of Elea was posing a series of paradoxes that purported to undermine the notion that anything can truly move. Based on the principle that an object could not pass through the infinite number of points between two places in a finite period of time. The continuous number line solves this problem by allowing for time to be divided into infinitesimally short instants, of which an infinity can indeed fit into a finite time. This reasoning about motion ultimately developed into the mathematics of calculus, which, since the time of Isaac Newton, has formed the foundation of physics. In 1960, Eugene Wigner wrote of the unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics in the natural sciences. From his perspective, that mathematics has proved such an effective tool for studying the physical world seemed an inexplicable miracle. Yet perhaps it should not be such a mystery. Mathematics is a tool for approximating the natural world by simpler forms, such as basic geometric shapes. These are the same approximations that physicists use to develop models that approximate the behavior of the natural world. The cost of this approach is that mathematicians were compelled to invent irrational numbers as artificial tools designed to facilitate their abstraction of the world. But the reward was the immense wealth of possibilities of modern physics. All things considered, we must conclude that real numbers are not real, but irrational numbers are not irrational.